As we continue in our time of worship, may we approach the Lord in prayer, saying together, O Creator and mighty God, you have promised strength for the weak, rest for the laborers, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. O Creator and mighty God, help us to continue in your promise. Amen. And may we also say together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The first reading is from 2 Timothy, the 3rd and 4th chapters. Therein Paul writes, As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. And the gospel lesson for today from the gospel according to St. Luke. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, Grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is for us the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. She had been coming to the judge for God knows how long. Weeks, maybe months, perhaps years. Her plea was always the same. Her plea was always simple. Grant me justice. Justice had become her mantra and her mission. It was the cause at the center of her life. Maybe it was the only thing she had left. For as a widow in that day and time, she had neither property nor legal protection. She had likely been left impoverished and vulnerable to the whims of her closest male relative. She was looking for justice against an opponent, her adversary, someone who had done her harm. What sort of harm, I wonder? Had she been hit? Had she been kicked? Had she been punched? Had she been strangled? Had she been thrown across the room? Had she been beaten and bruised so badly that she required hospitalization? Had she been the victim of her late husband's abuse? Many women are. Around the world, one in three women is the victim of domestic violence, usually at the hands of a family member, such as a spouse or a boyfriend. This is true in Texas, where 38% of women have experienced intimate partner violence in their lifetime. My friends, domestic abuse is a problem. No, it is more than that. Let us call it what it is. It is a sin. Domestic violence, the abuse or harm, physical, emotional, verbal, psychological, or otherwise, against a spouse, a partner, or a child, is a sin that must be brought from out of the shadows into the clear light of day, so that its victims, like the persistent widow, may receive the justice that is theirs by right. We must bring domestic violence from out of the shadows and into the pulpit and into the public square, because people we know and love are being hurt. It bears repeating that one in three women, and indeed one in six men, will experience domestic abuse in their lifetime. Statistically, that means that some of you sitting here this morning have experienced or will experience some form of abuse. And yet you have sat there in the shadows. Perhaps you have deliberately chosen to sit there in the shadow of these soaring columns, hoping the darkness will hide the bruises. Perhaps you have sat boldly in the shadow of this pulpit, hoping to hear a word from the Lord, a word of healing, a word of hope, a word of heaven where there is no more crying and no more pain. Perhaps you have sat there fearfully in the shadow of the very spouse who has hurt you, whom everyone else admires for being upstanding and successful, unaware of what happens in the privacy of your home. As unbelievable as it sounds, the director of a local women's shelter, who is a member of this congregation, stood before our staff meeting last week and said that she saw a woman on Wednesday in her clinic, sitting in church with her on Sunday, and sitting next to her was the very man who had abused her. My friends, domestic violence is a reality, and it needs to come from out of the shadows. It has to come from out of the shadows of scriptures that say that wives are to be subject and submissive to their husbands, a text that is too often perverted to justify violence for supposed disobedience. Domestic violence has to come from out of the shadows of ignorance, either honest or willful, that says it doesn't happen in my family or in my church or in my neighborhood or in my workplace. Domestic violence has to come from out of the shadows of protective dishonesty that says, he really loves me, she didn't mean to. It has to come from out of the shadows of self-deception that says, I deserved it, or it was an accident, or that person will change. Domestic violence has to come from out of the shadows because it causes injury and death. Domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women, more than car accidents, muggings, and rapes combined. Every 9 seconds in the United States, a woman is assaulted or beaten. In the course of this sermon alone, 100 women will be abused, and in the hour that we worship together, 400 women will be so victimized. Every day in the United States, at least 3 women are killed by their husbands or boyfriends. Friends, domestic violence has to come from out of the shadows because it is too costly. Domestic violence victims lose nearly 8 million days of paid work in the U.S. alone, the equivalent of 32,000 full-time jobs. The costs of intimate partner violence in the U.S. alone exceed $5.8 billion per year. $4 billion are for direct medical and healthcare services, while productivity losses account for nearly $1.8 billion. The cost to investigate, prosecute, and provide medical care for the victims of domestic violence amounts to $37 billion annually. And yet, the economic costs of domestic violence are but a small part of a terrible picture. The greater cost is to lives, to well-being, to the future of violence's victims. Witnessing violence between one's parents or caretakers is the strongest risk factor of transmitting violent behavior from one generation to the next. Boys who witness domestic violence are twice as likely to abuse their own partners and children when they become adults. 30 to 60% of perpetrators of intimate partner violence also abuse children in the household. My friends, let's name domestic violence for what it is. It is a sin. And the sin of domestic violence is that it neither fears God nor respects people. Domestic violence and those who commit it do not fear God because they injure others. The command that Jesus gave us is that we would love one another, and love does no harm. Indeed, the scriptures are clear that those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters, cannot love God. Indeed, they are liars. They do not love God, for those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. It is fundamentally inconsistent with the love of God to harm another individual who in Christ is a brother or sister and is thus a child of God. And this is the second sin of domestic violence. It is no respecter of persons. Abuse affects women and men, though disproportionately more women than men, and it affects children. It affects white people and black people and brown people. It affects people on every continent. It affects straight people and gay people, people who are married and people who are not. It affects the rich and the poor, those who have education and those who lack it. Domestic violence is no respecter of persons, because it denies the dignity that is inherent in every person as a child and creation of God. This morning, my friends, if you are being abused, you need to know that you do not deserve it. You are not stupid or fat or ugly or lazy or unworthy or whatever horrible and untrue thing your abuser says about you. You are not those things because you are a child of God, created in God's image. You are made in love to love and to be loved, and love does not hit or harm or hurt another person. And it doesn't do so because love is patient and kind. It is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but love rejoices in the truth. My friends, if you are being abused, you need to know that help is available. I will help you. Any of the clergy on our staff will help you. Our church's violence intervention and prevention ministry will help you. Genesis Women's Shelter or the Family Place will help you. There are law enforcement officers and lawyers and counselors and doctors and therapists who will help you. There are hotlines and crisis centers and community services who will help you. You need to know that help is available and you are not alone. You don't have to face this by yourself. If you are being abused, I implore you to come from out of the shadows. I know that in asking this, I ask no small thing. For whatever the hurt, whatever the harm you are enduring in the shadows, at least there is the comfort of the familiar and the security of the routine. But consider, aren't you entitled to justice? Aren't you entitled not to suffer any longer? Not to be afraid, not to have to hide and to cover up, not to be imprisoned by fear and guilt and shame, but to be free. Consider that the widow sacrificed whatever self-worth she had left. She risked shunning and shame and social humiliation to compel the judge to grant her the justice she deserved. And because she was brave, because she was courageous, because she would not take no for an answer, because she would not be denied, justice was granted. Will not God grant justice to those who cry out to him day and night? The promise is that God will grant them justice and quickly. But until then, church, we must come from out of the shadows to stand with the victims, to speak out against domestic violence, to pursue the cause of justice insistently and persistently for the sake of those who suffer. We can do no less. Amen.